Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the meantime, Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline to talk some Packers football. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A lot of talk about D. Ford, about possibly the Packers maybe making a deal for him. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on there because there's a change in defensive scheme happening in Kansas City. And so I know there are people who are saying if this guy was so good, he wouldn't be available on the trade market for reportedly a second-round pick. Well, this is a defense completely in Kansas City. This is a defense completely undergoing a scheme change, going to a 4-3. D. Ford is very much your prototypical 3-4 edge rusher. That needs to be said. It's not like this is a player that all, you know, that I'm speaking from my own experience, I don't think this is a team in Kansas City who's like, you know, yeah, D. Ford is a one-year wonder, because let's call it what it is. D. Ford had a breakout season in 2018. He was a good player before that, but he definitely had a breakout season that happened to come on a contract year. Is that the product of, you know, just a one-hit wonder, or is that because he's found something now? And I think it's more, if you look at his Pro Football Focus ratings, this wasn't like a fluke type of season. This was something where he was the league's number one rated edge rusher, both in pressures and overall pass rushing grade. This isn't something that is going to disappear overnight just because you give the guy a contract. So, again, this goes back to the Antonio Brown questions, Bill, and my underlying theme, and it seems like this is how Brian Gutekunst feels this offseason, is that he's not playing around. This is not going to be a conservative offseason. If the Packers trade their second-round pick, number 44 overall, for D. Ford and give him a new contract, that's not playing around. That is not a conservative approach. That is a we need to drastically change this roster and we need to do so overnight type of move. So if this is the type of thing that Brian Gutekunst and his front office staff is looking at, I mean, first off, I'd like that they're just involved in it, but I don't want it to stop there. I think this would be a very good play. You'd almost be capitalizing on a guy that is, you know, happening to be sort of put out into the free agent / trade environment almost seemingly based solely on the fact that his defensive scheme is changing. So take advantage of that. Bring him into Mike Pettine's defense. And by the way, the new coach on the defensive staff of Mike Pettine coached a D. Ford in Kansas City. So there's already like a marriage there that you can kind of blend the two and know that you can get a lot out of him. That's Mike's.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of pieces here that make sense, Bill. I don't think this is a, smoke, no fire thing. I think this is something that seems to make a lot of sense. We know the Packers' desperate need for edge rush. And if the asking price is pretty much just a second-round pick plus a new contract, I think that's not steep. I don't think that's so steep that you pass. I think it's something where, you know, it really is just a second-round pick. I think you get that done and you want to give up number 44 overall? No. But, like, to get a player like this at their peak, at their prime, yeah, go for it. It's another one of those aggressive plays, and I think it makes a ton of sense.
Speaking of aggressive, can you, and I'm only shifting away from the Packers momentarily, but can you make heads or tails out of what the hell John Gruden's doing?
That's the greatest way to phrase a question, with the best answer being, could you ever? I mean, it's been a long time since I've been able to make heads or tails of John Gruden. If you just look at the way that he prefers to build a roster, it's just, it's craziness. Now, I will say, I mean, like, again, if all things were equal, the Raiders gave up a third and a fifth round pick for a top five wide receiver. That's, I mean, compensation wise, that's nothing, right? They got a first round pick for Amari Cooper. That's what they received for Amari Cooper, who, fine, he's a good wide receiver. He definitely is a good wide receiver. He went to Dallas and had a really good second half of the season. But Antonio Brown runs circles around Amari Cooper. But all of the stuff that's going on, and you give up those compensation, and you tear up his previous contract, you give him all this new money, making him the highest paid wide receiver. Antonio Brown is 31 years old. It's just, man, your first move pretty much in Oakland is to trade Khalil Mack, because you don't want to pay him $26 million per year. But you're perfectly fine paying a wide receiver who's 5 years older than Khalil Mack, who's basically you're the only team interested. Once Buffalo dropped out, that was it. It's just, man, I have long been a proponent of wondering, to your exact question, what the hell John Gruden is thinking and doing. And this move kind of helps to confirm. I mean, they didn't give up much from compensation, but, man, he had better assume and know that he can corral that, as you called it last week, circus, because he is inviting a whole lot of questions, I think, to infiltrate that locker room in Oakland.
Well, what I don't get is you get rid of Amari Cooper, you get rid of Khalil Mack, you basically say that there isn't much talent on this team. You're going to do, you know, your due diligence to build it through the draft. And now by the time the draft guys start to come to fruition in a year or two or three, you're talking about a 34-year-old wide receiver who you're paying tens of millions of dollars. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I don't – that's what I don't get.
Right. It's a win-now move for a team that has seven moves to become a win-now team. You know, like
– Right.
You purposely – and again, like, you know, if I was a Raiders fan and a year ago I saw them trade – Khalil Mack, even yes, two first-round picks. Hey, that's good compensation. Don't get me wrong, but it's Khalil Mack. Okay, you don't at 26 years old, Khalil Mack. You saw the difference he made for Chicago. If I see that happen and I see okay, he could collecting future draft capital, and then I see they trade Amari Cooper. Oh, wow, first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Hey, you played that really well. Let's be honest. I can't believe they got a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. They played that very well. You're amassing all of this future draft capital. And then you do like a 180 and you say, hey, let's reverse course. Let's bring in a 31-year-old receiver who is clearly, if the Raiders start losing, is not going to handle that well. And let's do a 180. So it's, I mean, now you're trying to win now? Like, you know, like, is this just the first move of several that the Raiders are going to go and do a bunch of these veteran-type guys and try to make 2019 a Super Bowl year for Gruden and Mike Mayock in his first season? So, yeah, man, it's I'm happy to trash Gruden. Anytime you want to trash Gruden, I'm here for that.
And by the way, the Raiders just signed the offensive tackle, Trent Brown, to a four-year deal, $66 million, a former Patriot.
I saw the money. I mean, wow. Yeah. If this was just like a one-year step-back thing that Gruden did, and now this is like, all right, foot on the gas, let's go. Fine, but you are in a division with the Kansas City Chiefs, and so you had better get really good really fast if they expect to turn things around in the NFC or in the AFC West, because, man, the Chiefs, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon either.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, go back to the Packers. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier about, you know, do fans want to see Dee Ford? Do they want to see Houston? Do they want to see somebody else come in? And then most of them said the Packers aren't going to do anything. They don't have much faith in Brian Gutekunst. He's Ted Thompson 2.0. And look, I said last year he came into this situation just needing to build through the draft and trying to figure out what he had, hanging on to Mike McCarthy. And this season, it has been busy in the sense that they have fired their head coach. They had to put a staff together. They had to kind of do a few things to get this thing kind of up and running. So it hasn't been easy for him as a general manager. So how much to me, I'm not judging Brian Gutekunst just yet. I'm going to wait until we're actually sitting here in August and going into training camp in July to say, okay, this is what I believe him to be. I'm not judging it, but fans are already saying, look, he's not spending money. He's kicking the tires, but he's not really going to do anything. I don't have any faith in him. It's just basically going to be draft to develop. Aaron Rodgers took all the money. This team's not going to win a championship, and I'm casting off the Green Bay Packers. Here's my question. How much belief do you have in Brian Gutekunst?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're still in the learning phase. You know, we're still in the understanding exactly who this guy is as a GM phase. And I think what a lot of people feel burned by, well, we're still in the learning phase, but I'm on the learning phase of thinking, I think that Brian Gutekunst is going to become, maybe he is already, or he's in the process of becoming, but I think he isn't going to be a good GM for the Packers. So I have optimism, you know, that I think that he has the right people around him, that I think he has the right background, having been in Green Bay so long, that he will, you know, get the Packers turned around. So I there's an optimism there that at least I internally think of him as a GM. So that would be step one. The step two to that would be, I think a lot of people feel burned by the fact that the Khalil Mack trade not only didn't happen, but that he went to the division rival Chicago Bears and made the Bears pretty much an overnight success story. And you know, you can go back to the September times, Bill, when you and I were talking about that, and, you know, and I was very clear. I said, I think Khalil Mack makes the Bears at worst, an 8-8 team. I think overnight with one move, Khalil Mack moved the needle that much. Now, the needle moved much further than that, it turned out, and, you know, they became, you know, the clear-cut best team in the division pretty much overnight, which is, you know, considering they, you know, Trubisky at quarterback is fine, the offense is fine, but Khalil Mack turned that defense around and made them really special and was seemingly that final missing piece. So I think when fans are like, hey, you know, Brian Gutekunst, hey, applause, good for you, man, you were involved in the Khalil Mack trade. Guess what? You lost on Khalil Mack. Not only that, you let him go to Chicago and let the Bears very quickly pass you in the standings. So I get that that is sort of a fresh hurt that Packers have, that Packers fans have with Brian Gutekunst. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, for whether people like Mark Murphy, don't like Mark Murphy, or as something in between, there is pressure from Mark Murphy, almost like an owner would give pressure. There's pressure from Mark Murphy. You can talk, you can all you have to do is go back to the introductory press conference for LaFleur. This is not a, hey, as long as we turn this thing around in 2 years, that's fine thing. This is, no. Murphy wants this thing turned around now. Aaron Rodgers wants this thing turned around now. Matt LaFleur doesn't have a two-year window of not making the playoffs and that's going to all be fine. I think it's very clear that the marching orders are get this thing turned around. And if like, that's why it all goes back to the conservative offseason versus an aggressive offseason. Dee Ford, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., maybe. There's a lot of aggressive things that could be done this offseason, and I would give any GM more than 1 year to say whether or not you think he can get the job done or not. And because you know the draft class that's going to take a while, but you know now that the Packers are actually in on these conversations, now he actually needs to make one or more of these big moves happen, and then have it pay off on the field. Obviously, with the Packers not missing the playoffs for a third year in a row, so I think there's sort of that Khalil Mack hurt that's still fresh for people. But again, you go get, and I'm not going to compare D4 to Khalil Mack. He's not as good as Khalil Mack, but it would certainly be a big step in the right direction for that edge rushing group that the Packers have right now.
Paul, always good, buddy, and we will chat again later in the week, okay?
Okay, sounds good, Bill. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. There you go, Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.